It's written right there. Jesus was on the mountainside, and he stood up as if backing up the hill to be seen in full view, and he called to himself those who would be his specifically trained apostles. You see, being called up was happening there. Just like military service, sometimes people are called up to go to the field or go to another theater of war. God help us. But in the calling up, there's a sense of, I want you. I want you to be in this group. I want you to serve. You have something to contribute. You have a place and a role to play in God's kingdom and its forward march. James, really? You got to be in the group of 12. You're in the top echelon, even if no one hears you speaking ever. And the truth is, Jesus still calls us up. In our tradition, we have these things up here at the front. They're called kneeling rails, and Methodists have had them since we started. Many churches have them, but for us, they're a calling up. They're saying to Jesus, I will respond to you. And sometimes when the word impacts us and we sense the Spirit saying to us, this is for you. I want you to jump into this. I want you to grab a hold of this. One of the ways that you show that is you come up and you kneel as if to say, Lord, I'm ready to take the message you have for me, to commit the thing you're asking of me, to do the thing you want me to do. It's not just for the 12 and some lofty group. It's not just for pastors and Sunday school teachers. It's for everyone who hears the Lord call. Come up. Indicate to the people who are around you that you're taking hold of this for yourself. Let us never be bashful. And let them sit here beautifully unaccompanied by human knees and hearts and but let them be an altar, as this is an altar. Wow, suddenly the sound kicked in. Let this be a place where we commit to the Lord and lay before the Lord the things that we say, yes, although I feel like I have less, although I feel like I'm behind and younger and shorter and I'm not sure I really know what I'm doing here, I sense the Spirit and I want to move into that, and I will stand up and let it be known publicly I'm not ashamed. Oh, the disciples would need a lot of courage, wouldn't they? Because they wouldn't be in friendly environments in the future. They'd be in very unfriendly environments that wanted them to be silent and not speak that name of Jesus. Even their own countrymen, we forbid you to speak the name of Jesus or to do things in his name anymore. Ah, but they still were willing to stand up. And the days come for God's people all around the world in places and times when persecution intensifies. Will they stand up? Will they come to the front? Will they move forward and say, yes, I will take hold of what God is saying to me. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what people will gossip about behind my back. I want to get a hold of God. Nothing else matters. Have you been so empowered? My dear friends, you and I have been called, just like the 12. The second thing that James shows us, although he's less, is that like the others, he is designated. He is appointed for something. In fact, the verse says, verse 14, look at it. He appointed them to be with him, to be close to him, to be right with him at all times, to carry with him, with themselves, his presence in the physical at that moment, but then also when his Spirit would come and indwell them. God desires to draw close to you. And one of the beautiful things we've been doing about Lent is seeking to draw close to Christ and see how it changed these men and women, as we learned last week. And discover what it means to be close to Christ and how to be changed by him. How is it we're changed by Christ? We can come to Sunday morning worship and we can learn good things about God and we can pray and we can rejoice and praise him, but that doesn't mean we're closer to Christ. It means we're more informed about the Lord. Drawing closer to Christ happens when you as an individual say, I'm going to dig into this. I'm going to stick on this. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to look to the scriptures every day. I'm going to gather with fellow believers and share my heartbreaks and my pain and my problems as well as my victories every chance I get. Because I know that when I'm close to what his Spirit is brooding and moving through me, meditation, in fasting. And some of you tried fasting for the first time during these weeks. And I bet anything, you felt a sense of nearness to Christ and a dependence on Him that you had not had before. Jesus invites you to be close to Him. And the reason He appoints you to be His own people is that you may abide with Him every day, walking in His footsteps, discerning the way His Spirit is moving, going with that flow, staying in that groove. But we live in the 21st century where there's so many other things. There's electronic devices. There's workplace demands. There's family obligations. There's all these other extracurricular activities. There's responsibilities to my extended family and my neighborhood. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? But Jesus still calls and appoints us to draw near to Him, to seek Him in all things, to look for Him in every place. And like James the Less, we can also do that and find that that's where the power is. That's where the change takes place. Not in wearing our Sunday best and smiling and being all polite and respectful in our pew. Closeness to Christ goes beyond the call. It goes to the designation of how we live and dig into the disciplines that He has for us. In fact, to be honest, that's how Methodism started. Mr. Wesley said, "I'm tired of Anglican worship being just people go to church on Sunday and look nice and have no clue what that means about how to live in the fire of the Spirit every day. We need people to get together in their homes. We need people to confess sin to each other. We need people who are willing to put it right out there and designate that they have a method for drawing close to God, and that's why they're called Methodists. They were made fun of by their Anglican friends. Oh, you Methodists, dear. Trying to live close to God every moment you're so devout. Whatever. Whatever. Transformation takes place. And England was turned upside down in Wesley's day because so many dug in to the designation, to the appointment that God had for them. Oh, how I long that it would rise up again and again, every place in the world where Methodists like you and I gather to worship the Lord and to seek Him and to get up with Him. Thirdly, James the Less is one who will be sent. Sent to speak about what he's heard, to tell what he's seen and heard, to share what's going on. And when he does, he'll find that spiritual forces of darkness flee because they can't handle it. They don't like to hear about Jesus. They don't want to be close to it. They are driven away. They're powerless before the light of the Lord. And everywhere James, you and I and everyone who's followed him goes is an opportunity to bring the light, not just to keep it encapsulated in our soul, but to speak it, to live it, that it pours out through our hands. You never know the influence that you will have over someone who's watching you carefully to see if this God you worship has any power that's any different than any other religious organization on the planet. They watch to see if you're a person who lives with integrity and follows up with kindness and responds with hospitality and graciousness. A person who lives in peace when everyone else is losing it. A person who isn't vengeful and spiteful and angry and proud. Oh God, what would it be if we were people who preached with our words and preached with our hands and preached with our attitudes every day? What darkness would be pushed back all around us? In fact, here's the little secret about James. Because when we read in the lines of Scripture, we suddenly discover that even someone as less as him is doing something that only he can do. And only God can do through him. As we piece together all of the stories of the gospel, especially in the Passion Week, we discover that James is not an island unto himself, as silent as he is. He has an immediate family. His father's name is Alphaeus. We're actually told that in the text. And Alphaeus is one language But in another language, it translates to Clopas, same man, James's father. James's father has been drawn in because of what he sees his son doing, following this Jesus for these 3 years. And now in Jerusalem, suddenly, there's Clopas with his son, tailing with Jesus to see where this will lead. You know that name, Alphaeus, means changing. And sometimes when we follow close after Jesus, the people in our immediate family, they feel that we're changing, and suddenly they change too. The way we react to them, we know they notice it's different, and they start to trail along too. In fact, if you know the scriptures well, you'll know that 2 days after Jesus' crucifixion, Clopas and another disciple are walking along the road to Emmaus, and they're just stunned that this has happened. This man that my son has followed all these years, they crucified him, and along comes the stranger. And the stranger is the Lord, risen from the dead. And they don't even recognize him because they weren't close to him. My son was close to this guy, not me. But when they get to the place where they're going and they turn off, they invite him to stay, and then suddenly their eyes are open and their perspective is changed. And just like Alphaeus' name, suddenly he realizes that Christ is alive and that even death is overcome by this guy. I would suspect that Clopas wouldn't have even been in Jerusalem that weekend if it hadn't been that his son, the less, had said, "Dad, come, you got to see this." Or James, just by the way he was being changed and following Jesus, was a force that his father had to get close to see what was happening in his family. Oh, and then there's his mother. James the Less's mother, we're told, his name is Mary. Not Mary Jesus' mother, not Mary from Magdala that we talked about last week, but yet another Mary, very popular name, obviously, at that time and place. Mary, the wife of Alphaeus, and as we find her in the scriptures, silently standing at the cross where Jesus is dying. She's standing there with the other two Marys and Salome, and she's there, even though her son has run away in terror. Even mothers get changed. Even the women relatives in the family are drawn close to something that they behold, that they're stunned by, that they find themselves changed by. When we live close to Jesus, our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, they recognize there's something powerful here. I'm spellbound by this. Something significant in the universe is shifting, and this changes everything. And indeed, for Mary, the mother of Joseph and James the Less, everything changes that day. And we're told from tradition that she is also emboldened to speak of Christ. And although she's a woman who has little value in that culture and time, she's not afraid either to be a witness to his death and, yes, his resurrection. And then there's Joseph. That would be James's brother, who didn't get picked and for whatever reason was doing his own thing. But the very point that his name is listed at this moment in the story says that those writing about what happened know him. And when you say his name, everyone will say, "Oh, that Joseph, we know him." We have every reason to suspect that Joseph became a very strong follower of Jesus after all of this pain and suffering was over. And sometimes after the pain and the suffering, our brothers, our sons, come to see what Jesus really is and what he's really done. But if the Jameses, like you and I, aren't tracking faithfully with Jesus all along, it's very possible that our Alphaeuses, our Marys, our Josephses will never track with him either. James, the less, you're the only person, the only disciple whose whole family has been sucked in to this thing that God is doing because you followed faithfully, followed even silently, close to Jesus all the way. My friends, it may be true that there are Josephs and Marys and Alphaeuses in your family who are so far away from God and so fixated on other things that are tearing them apart and they don't even see it yet. But as you move close and follow God's call and respond as Jesus' Spirit compels you to, you'll find that their reality also is drawn in. Some of you have told me stories. Stories of how you've been praying, and right there their names are. Things that you've been longing for God to do, to draw Alphaeus and Mary and Joseph back in. And I'm so excited to hear your stories. And if you're bold enough to tell them, you could interrupt me and do that right now. Because the truth is, you have fathers, mothers, spouses, siblings, children who have no interest in being here today because they don't think they need God. It's just another religion, and they're not sure they see the difference in you yet that could convince them otherwise. But the powerful, unspoken example of James the Less is drawing us to the Savior as well, to say, walk close to Him. Get in with Him. Be faithful to Him. Soak up every word from Him. Seek Him out in every situation. And even if no one knows you're the grand star like the Peter or the Philip or the John or the Andrew, powerful things can happen through you. Darkness will be pushed back through your love, your faithfulness to the Savior and the Spirit's work in you. Here's what I'd like for us to do in response to James the Less. I want you to hold in your thoughts in this moment one immediate family member, just like James had. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a sibling, a spouse, or a child of your own. One of those four things. Someone who is not quite tracking with the Lord yet. Someone you long to be a follower of Jesus, to be changed by Him too. And I'm going to ask you to find someone else in the room who's the same gender as you are, but not a family member at all, who you can say, this is my family member. Would you pray for him or her? And then that friend say to you, this is my family member. Would you pray for him or her? Maybe you'll take just two sentence prayers to do that. It will only take 30 seconds if you do it well. And as you're doing that, our musicians are coming and we're going to start music. And after you've prayed with your friend and believer and brother or sister in Christ, we're going to enter into our time of prayer, pleading for God to help us track with Him better. Maybe you'll want to come to the front as a way of saying, I'm stepping up, I feel the Spirit calling me, and I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm here for Christ on the side of the mountain, even if I'm all by myself. And let's enter into our prayer. So please, find a same-gendered friend to share in these moments.
Yeah.